Hello listeners and welcome. My name is Kevin Fayard and I am a student of the BTS Game Programming and Game Design at the Lycée des Arts et Métiers in Luxembourg. With me, I have two fellow students who stepped up to the plate to discuss with me the concept of censorship in video games. Let's introduce them.
Hello there, my name is Steven. I guess I should just kind of give you a rundown of what my political stance is, because that's kind of important here. So I'm quite authoritarian, I'd say. I believe the state should control most media and it should kind of be more regulated than this today.
Greetings, my name is Daniel. They found me lingering around outside the recording studio. And I am of less an extreme of opinion, where I do believe that censorship certainly does bring some good, though I certainly don't believe that, you know, not as extreme as my friend Stephen here.
A motley crew for sure. All right, now before we wade knee-deep into this discussion, I'd like to frame our definition of censorship within the context of the show, just so that we're all on the same page. When we use the term censorship, we think of the following criteria. Specifically, censorship is when games or finished parts of a game are made unavailable to the public as a result of outside pressure. The scope can be local, such as pertaining to a specific country, or international. And the motivator for the censorship is not the developers themselves, but an outside force, such as the publisher's demands or a government's regulations. Okay, now that we have laid out what we consider censorship to be here, we are going to touch upon the two broad categories that exist within that scope: censorship of explicit content and that of political content. Let's begin with the former. Can you think of a game off the top of your head that has been partially or fully censored because of its explicit nature?
Not really. Today we live in a day and age where you can just, you know, publish smut games and there's not really many people offended. I can literally not think of any such case right now.
Right. Well, historically speaking, there have been cases. A particularly notorious example is Mortal Kombat, which has had copies of it confiscated in Germany in the 90s.
Yes,
and in other countries, you know, they were forced to change the blood color from red to green. That would be one example, and I'm sure there's many more.
That's quite like that, yes. I remember, especially in Germany,
yep,
back in the day, they were extremely keen on keeping violent matters down. I remember them going so far as to change, in certain games, all human people into robots so that there would be no actual, quote-unquote, violence showcased in the game.
Yeah, precisely. Germany is a pretty strong contender for authoritarian regulations here. I'm sure Stephen is quite a fan. So what do you think of doing things this way? Are you in favor of this kind of attitude, or how do you feel about that?
Which one of us? Should I just always start, or?
I suppose Stephen has perhaps some strong feelings regarding this, so stage is yours.
Okay, so in general, concerning explicit content, I would say the state should kind of protect the citizenship of bad influence, I would say. For example, pornography, excessive violence, especially for under 18s, profanity, gambling, alcohol, addiction stuff, all of that stuff should be what the state is there for, to protect the citizenship.
And I think what...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do completely agree with you that definitely the state should have the ability to change the law to make sure what sort of things they make accessible to their citizens. Now, of course, there's another question that comes with them as to how far should they go, what changes are sensible and which aren't. But they should absolutely have it, because I do believe that it in and of itself is a use for good.
My big question is, why should the government step in and change content to suit its regulations when they could instead simply impose stricter age barriers to the acquisition of potentially dangerous products, if we can call them that?
Well, I think that's one way to go, right? Because even today, we live in a pretty liberal society, I would say.
Yes.
And despite that, we still don't allow children to watch porn. We don't allow children to drink alcohol, stuff like that. And I think that's basically censorship in a way, right? Because we exclude an entire demographic from partaking in some sort of media or some other thing. But I think going even further would be beneficial, because it's not just when people cross this magic line of 18 years of age that they become susceptible to things like gambling or porn or stuff like that, right? So I think that if the government is really serious about this, they should ban more or less bad things. I mean, bad is kind of a loaded word, I would say, but harmful things in general. They should ban that across the entire spectrum of the population, not just under 18s or under 21s or 16s or some magic number that they make up.
We very often put a lot of emphasis on the idea that the moment you become an adult, you are a responsible, mature person that can make their own decisions.
Right.
But at some point, we have to admit, when we look at the victims of gambling-related addictions and other things, that that simply isn't always true. And that there may be some things, some cases, in which it is just okay, in fact, even protecting the people of the nation, by simply saying, we're going to put regulations onto this specific kind of content to assure that people don't fall victim to it. Because it's not always a matter of age. Sometimes it's just a matter of, age really doesn't have anything to do with it, with how easily you are affected by matters of gambling or other things such as that.
Right, but it's a complicated issue, and here's the thing. Ultimately, I believe people should have some kind of agency over their lives. People should be able to decide for themselves if they are apt or if content is appropriate for them to consume or not. And by imposing a blanket ban, we are basically conducting collective punishment, right? Like, we're saying that because X percentage of our adult demographic is unable to handle this content, thus no one should be able to have access to it. And I think that's the wrong way to go. Additionally to that, Stephen already kind of touched upon another problem, which is that bad content is a very vague definition. And it's a slippery slope of where do we start, where do we stop, and before long we find ourselves in a world where basically everything becomes censored and all we have access to is the most politically correct content possible.
Well, here's the matter, because it's not just a matter of black and white. The discussion isn't a matter of, okay, we ban everything or we make everything available to everyone. Because that's just absolutely ridiculous way, and then you're dealing in absolutes, which makes you a sith. It's more a matter that really what they should be able to do is to press the correct labels on the correct sorts of content and use the correct kinds of regulations on that content. So if you have a game with explicit erotic content, that sort of content should not be accessible in an area that's easily marketed to kids. It should not be right next to other video games that have a children's demographic. It should be moved into the correct place with the correct labels on top of that.
And that I agree.
Already in this current day and age, we have the problem that many video games are all piled in one bunch, which makes it extremely difficult, not just for the target audience, but also parents, to correctly, especially those that aren't extremely familiar with gaming, to assure what kind of content their children are actually consuming. Of course, we've got the rating system. We already know how well that is working out.
Right. Well, in general, I agree. I think labeling things and making sure that the buyer can make an informed decision is paramount. I think in order to make a responsible choice as an adult, I need to have pertinent information. But that's basically where I draw the line. Informing people is fantastic. Making decisions for them, I don't agree with.
I somewhat agree with you on the slippery slope argument, because it is tough to say what's really harmful, what isn't, even with stuff like, let's say, smoking, right? In the old days, I mean, years and years ago, it wasn't quite evident if smoking was bad or wrong, right? We had a bunch of lobbying from one side, and on the other side, we had actual real science, but it was hard to tell what the real what reality was, basically. And I feel like no matter what the situation is, we can get into the same problem, basically.
Yes.
The other part is, of course, that it can actually, censorship, to take Germany as an example, can also help with when it comes specifically to content-specific things, such as to spread misinformation or hate speech. That's another fact.
That's an excellent transition, actually, into the next part that we want to talk about, which is the censorship of political content.
To get aside from political content, get more into the specific area of hate speech, we can all agree that, you know, censoring hate speech, that is something that we can all agree as good, correct?
Not quite. So here's the thing. My argument is this. I think... So we live in a democracy, right? And the idea of a democracy is to give everybody a platform for their opinion. That is the foundation of our society. And
I disagree with that. I believe that what democracy means is that everyone is allowed to speak their mind, voice their opinions, but it doesn't mean that we must give them a platform to do so or even listen to them.
Well, the thing is, you're limiting yourself to democracy as if that's the only choice.
But yes.
Okay, I'm not saying it's the only choice, but I'm saying that is the society that we currently live in. That is our system, right?
Correct. I think.
Well, technically, Luxembourg is still, you know, a monarchy and a sort of hybrid in between all.
Well,
that,
yeah, but
we're a constitutional monarchy, basically a democracy. But yeah, I think if we limit ourselves to only what is really currently achievable, we kind of miss the point because this whole discussion is more of an idealized. Basically an ideal that would maybe be achievable, I guess.
The point I was making is that, I mean, regardless of whether or not we live in a democracy, I also personally believe that everyone should have a right to express their opinion, and everyone has a right to be wrong. You know, I would, for example, point in case, I would never censor a Nazi. It doesn't mean I agree with them. I vehemently disagree, in fact, but I would absolutely permit them a platform to speak so long as everyone else also has a platform to speak. I think you are entitled to being an idiot, essentially.
I would also actually agree with that. Despite my authoritarian standpoint, I think basically sifting out through all of the ideas makes it so that the good ideas stay on top. So if we completely liberalize the idea landscape, then eventually... basically Darwinism, if you could say that, would prevail and the best ideas would remain.
Exactly, that's sort of my thinking. So with that in mind, this isn't the case everywhere in the world, and we have a pretty recent example in China, where, or technically it was international, but the game was, I believe, developed in China. It was called Devotion, came out in 2019, released in February of that year, and was pulled from Steam about a week later. Now, you might wonder why. Well, the game is essentially a horror game, but it happened to have a piece of art inside of it, which sort of implied that the Chinese president bears a striking resemblance to Winnie the Pooh. And that's why the game is removed from stores. And I am not entirely sure. I don't believe it has even resurfaced yet. So, you know, that's a pretty blatant case of a blanket ban being imposed for... certainly political reasons, and I would argue very petty reasons as well. That's sort of the end state where we arrive when we permit censorship to go too far. What do you think?
That specific case, actually, I would almost agree with. Maybe not to the extreme of where just a single image would be enough to ban a whole game, but if you do have dangerous beliefs, I guess... or you actively try to attack the state, basically, with your speech, as in not just making blanket statements about your ideas or stuff, but actually targeting a specific person, which I believe this did do, I think in that case, censorship would be viable.
But what is dangerous, and who's to say that the state is right? If we lived in a, I don't know, let's pretend for a moment we lived in Nazi Germany, would you not think that maybe it's a good thing if we produce art, which is what I believe video games are, that challenges a state that does some very heinous things? And isn't China a similar situation?
Again, you know, I find myself very easily taking the code of a devil's advocate, and that's because while I may not specifically agree with this use case that China has provided due to other reasons, then again, we come into a situation of how you use this power determines if it is actually there for good or bad. And I believe, as I stated, that it can be utilized for good. So let's take, for example, that I made a game with someone in an inaccessible area. I would put a picture in which I said something, some sort of personal attack on a person somewhere around, within Luxembourg. Maybe I put a picture in there that says, Kevin smells.
Right.
Now, that's a bit questionable. Does it have to be there? Why? It seems a little bit petty in the first place. So would you not agree that it would be quite all right to say, hey, maybe let's not allow this person to publish this game in which they have particularly attached an insult?
But why not? We discussed the idea of Darwinism earlier. If I make a game that is largely about venting my petty frustrations, then certainly we should be able to agree that that game will find a very small market for itself and is not going to be worth the developer's time, certainly not financially, and maybe not in terms of fulfillment either. Why should we step in and specifically tell them, no, you're not even permitted to publish this? Doesn't that say that we are borderline afraid of their content?
Okay, but let's take it to a spot of like, because I think we can agree that there's some evil in censorship. It can definitely be used to do evil things.
Yes.
Agreed. I think that we can agree in, and I think we can also agree that when we look at China, their ethical things aren't necessarily in question. They're doing what's logical for them, but ethically speaking, there's definitely some things not quite right there. But
it's pretty shady.
Let's take a look at how it could be used for good, which I think is the much more interesting thing that people don't often think about. If, let's say, somebody were to publish a game that is demonizing Jews and ends with a call to arms to the player to go out and kill some Jews today, are we required to allow this game to be published, to be given to the larger demographic of people?
I would permit it. I would certainly not purchase it. I don't think a lot of people would. I would even very much permit others to ridicule this game. But I really don't believe that it's right for me to, you know, forbid them from making it and publishing it.
My question to you is, why would you permit it? What is the... It is because of this thinking that that everyone's allowed to voice their opinions.
Yes.
I see.
Essentially that. Like, I think everyone is... As I said, I think everyone is entitled to being an idiot. And
Let's state, for example, that you are a... Okay, we take this from a government standpoint where, okay, you're not going to actively let the law come down on them because you feel, you know, as a country, it's easy to get into that authoritarian state and you don't want to get into such situations. So, you know, out of ideology, it's a slippery slope. Let's not get there. But let's say, for example, you're a company like Steam, for example. Do you feel compelled... Because you are not under no contractual obligation to publish their game on your storefront. Because by doing so, you're going to put it into the public eye. So you're not even threatening their existence. Do you think that to avoid censorship, you would be forced to publish that game on your service?
If I was Steam, for instance... I don't think I would be forced to do it because at the end of the day, Steam is the property of Valve, right? And as the proprietors, they have the choice to say what they publish or don't. It's much in the same way that I think everyone has the right to publish whatever they want. I also think every store owner or whatever has the right to decide what they sell and don't sell. And that's sort of how these things work. If I make a game that is all about hate speech and is all around terrible, then perhaps no one would even sell my game, but I'm still allowed to make it. And if I find a publisher for it, I'm allowed to publish it, you know? That's the argument I'm making. It's this idea of Darwinism that Stephen very eloquently put it that way.
In that case, you have just agreed on me on a basis of censorship. Because while Steam isn't exactly a nation or anything like that, they still hold an immense amount of power. And people have constantly complained about
Steam. I wouldn't call it censorship, though. That's the difference. We are agreed, but I think a storefront choosing not to sell your game is not the same as censorship, because... as we laid it out, censorship is about being told you must not do this, whereas something like this is more like, hey, you're allowed to do this, absolutely no problem, but don't mind if I don't sell it. Anyway, we're taking it a bit far. We probably should wrap it up around here. We've been going over time a little bit already. So thank you all for joining me and sharing your thoughts. I really enjoyed my time with you. And what about you, dear listeners? What are your thoughts on the matter? Have we been able to sway you one way or perhaps another? Or have you been made aware of the issue to begin with? Thank you very much for listening, and take good care of yourselves. Goodbye.